Time to talk summer canoeing and kayaking. Larry Mueller here with my guest Darren Bush, who owns Rutabaga, the world's largest paddle sport shop. It's located in Madison. Really pleased to have Darren back to talk with us about a lot of events, some events that are going on, but also just to talk about getting out there and canoeing and kayaking. And certainly if you have a question or a comment, maybe you wonder where's a good place to go. Maybe you wonder about equipment, what's a good canoe or a kayak. Give us a call, the number 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Darren Bush, welcome back.
Thank you. Always fun to be here.
This is the great time of the year for those who like to canoe and
well, it's
kayak.
it's always the great time of the year as long as it's wet. But yeah, this weather is remarkable. It's wonderful.
It's really beautiful. You were talking with me before the show, and I just want to get this out right away about something called stand up paddling.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. It started in the coast and in Hawaii, and it was basically people who'd use surfboards and use a long paddle to use it to catch the waves that were smaller, because you can't really catch a small wave. You don't have enough power, but with the paddle, you could catch them. And people started doing it on flat water as a core workout, and now it's starting to catch on in the Midwest, and we're starting to see more interest in that. And I got aboard this year after kind of making fun of it for a couple of years, and it's like Pilates but fun. I mean, you really get a core workout. It's pretty amazing.
Wow! So I can look forward to seeing some folks on our lake stand up paddling.
I think you will. We've got a couple of people that paddle in Portage. They'll be out there paddling around, and folks asked me if there's going to be a class for stand up paddle this year in the Paddle in Portage race, and I said no, but there will be next year, I'm sure.
And Paddle in Portage, explain that event, because it's really a wonderful event. It goes right by our house.
Yeah. Wow, that's got to be cool. It's a race that's been going on in Madison for over 25 years, and it's basically a canoe and kayak race. They go out into Lake Mendota, do a mile and a half, come back to Madison Park, James Madison Park, and then go up and over the Portage, and then down in not too far from Law Park, I think, mm-hmm. and then they do a mile on
Lake Monona,
finishing up at Olin Turville Park, and they cap it at 400 boats, and they could probably get 500 in there if they could, but people come from all over the country to do this who did it when they were in school here, and they come back and have kind of a reunion, but it's much more than a race. It's more like an event and a community event, family reunion, all of the above.
It really is a lot of fun.
Yep.
It's great fun. Well, Julie in Sturgeon Bay has a question or comment, so let's go to Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my husband and I would love to get out in a canoe, but we want, first of all, wondering if it's safe to have a 2-year-old in a boat, and also really looking for a canoe that is lightweight and really stable that we all could pile into.
So a canoe that'll seat two adults and two children.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So to answer your first question, is it safe to put a 2-year-old in a canoe? It depends on the 2-year-old. It's kind of like asking if it's safe to put a black lab in a canoe. Yeah. It really depends on the black lab. Most of the time, it's great. And the thing is to give them something to do. So get them a little paddle, tie it under their wrist with a piece of bungee cord, because otherwise they'll play fetch. They throw it in the water and you fetch it, and it turns into a really fun game. So you're looking for a probably a larger, you know, deeper, wider canoe, and there's plenty of those out there. Winona Champlain comes to mind. That's 18 feet long and 37 inches wide. The Winona Boundary Waters is another one. That's a nice one. There's one made by Bell Canoe called the North Shore, which actually is a 4-person canoe that's 21 feet long.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you get it around?
It only weighs like 50-something pounds. It's Kevlar carbon. But I've one of our managers, John, has 3 small children, and they go out in that. And he can handle it with him and his wife paddling and the kids kind of rolling around on the bottom of the boat. So there are options out there for you.
And now if I came down to Madison, is that something where you could really just, you know, outfit us and then also help us, you know, teach us how to put it on the car and that kind of thing?
Yep, that's exactly what we do, actually. We'll put you on the water in the boat to make sure it works for you. We've got a pond right behind the shop that, that connects to the chain of lakes. And we will show you everything you need to know.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
All right. Sure. Thanks a lot for calling, Julie. Appreciate it. Let's turn to Jane in Milwaukee now. Hi, Jane.
Hi. There used to be a book, one book for northern paddling northern Wisconsin and another one for southern. It looks like the northern is out of print. Is there a book that you can recommend or a source for paddling in Forest County?
Not yet. There are some people working on some projects up there.
Okay.
I would recommend you call the Forest County Chamber.
Okay.
They usually, most of the chambers of commerce up north produce small maps of the area that they're in and all the rivers that are navigable. I can't think of one that doesn't, frankly.
Okay. Will there be a new Northern Wisconsin book by that same organization?
Yeah. Mike Svob is the author, yeah. Well, actually, back up, there were two books for the Northern Wisconsin. There was the Whitewater, Quietwater book, which had kind of a pink cover. And that was around for a long time, and that went out of print. And then Mike Svob has two books, Northern and Southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think I still have some northern ones around. If you call me at the shop, I'll see if I can put my hands on one.
Okay, great.
But, yeah, I think if they're out of print, I'd be surprised. They're printed by Wisconsin Trails Press, which is right out in Black Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Let's go to Bob in Wauwatosa now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I've got a canoe question also. My wife and I have a Swift Kippewa canoe. We've had several other big canoes. This is actually the smallest one. It's 16 and a half feet. Good depth, a little bit of rocker. Our experience is it's good in rough water. But my immediate question is, would it be crazy to canoe such as this one along the Great Lakes shorelines? And I'm thinking in particular of the Pictured Rocks National Seashore off Upper Michigan and also the Apostle Islands area. I suppose if we were to do this, we should get the boat fitted with a nylon deck with spray skirts. Would you talk about this for a few minutes?
Mm-hmm. Sure. This is a really good question, and people ask this a lot, is it safe to paddle an open boat on the Great Lakes? And the answer is, well, it depends on your experience level, it depends on the boat, it depends on the weather. There's so many factors that go into that that I'm really not comfortable making a blanket statement. Some people could paddle pretty much anything on anything. Bill Mason, the famous Canadian canoeist, paddled an open boat on Lake Superior all the time. But there are, my guess is there are days he didn't go out.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I would look at it. But yeah, a bigger, stable boat with a cover on it is kind of a minimum. The Kippewa is pretty small and, not super stable. A very experienced paddler might be able to do that. But it's just something that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up a little bit.
Okay. There you have it, Bob. Thanks for calling. So be a little wary.
Well, you know what? There's a better craft for that. It's called a kayak.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer of using things where that's the best tool. I paddle the little rivers in southwestern Wisconsin. I use a little solo canoe that's 12 feet long. I would never use a sea kayak on those rivers. It would be very, very unpleasant. Doable, but unpleasant. And for big water, a kayak was designed for that kind of stuff.
Yep. There you have it. Ken in Hingham, your turn. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
I wanted to just recommend to anybody listening in the audience, tonight is almost full moon and maybe full moon tomorrow night. If it's nice on Lake Michigan or Lake Superior, go out there just before sunset and watch the moon come up over the horizon. It's just a wonderful way to spend a kayaking or canoeing evening.
Yeah.
It's a comment.
All right.
It's an excellent comment. Yeah, the moon over water is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's for sure. And usually about that time of the day, it's calming down.
And it's
a nice time to be out there, get out away from the mosquitoes a little bit, out in the water, and watch the moon. Dan and Amory, hello to you.
Good morning. Say, I have a daughter who builds bent shaft canoe paddles, and wondering on how to properly size a canoe paddle for different arm lengths and different heights.
Yeah, it's a dark art, basically. I mean, there's a really easy rule of thumb. The height of the person doesn't matter so much because really it's about torso length, because unless you're paddling standing up, it doesn't really matter how long your legs are, right? So what I do for a bent shaft is I'll sit down in a chair and put the grip of the paddle between my legs on the chair, and then I should be able to look straight ahead and see where the paddle shaft starts to flare off into the blade. That's a good rule of thumb. You might go a little longer if you're in a deeper boat, a little shorter in a shallower boat. And the other rule of thumb is that pretty much anybody can use a 52-inch bent shaft paddle. So if you're going to have a spare, have a 52, because anybody can use it. A little too long for some people, a little too short for some people, but a lot of people paddle 52s.
All right. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Thanks very much for calling. And we'll turn to next to Peter in Sheboygan. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I have a question about durability of canoe layups versus weight. There are, you know, like ultralight canoes in the 40-pound range. There's another class of layup in the 50, 52, 3, 4-pound range. And I'm looking for a canoe, you know, 50 pounds or lighter, that can still, like running down gravel bars, say, where you go down a gravel bar, it proves to be shallower than you need. The boat rubs on the gravel routinely.
Yeah.
Like this is the Yellowstone River in Montana.
Okay.
That's a
typical kind of fast gravel bottom river.
Mm-hmm.
How do those hold up?
That's a really good question. Thanks. What I usually tell people when they ask me about durability is there's sort of two different kinds of durability. There's sort of a cosmetic durability, you know, how well does it keep looking good? Mm-hmm. And then there's sort of an ultimate final durability.
I'm not worried about cosmetics.
Excellent. Then this will be easy. Yeah, they're love marks. They're not scratches, right? There's two basic Kevlar layups. Most companies do one or the other. Winona happens to do both. There's the ultralight, which is how thin and how light can you get the boat and still make it stiff enough to paddle well.
Yep.
And that's more of a deep water boat. But they also make what's called a Kevlar Flex Core, which is a flexible core bottom. And those are probably the most durable boats you can get, period. They're even more durable than Royal X. And the reason for that is you can repair them forever. Yeah, when you wear off the gel coat, you can put more gel coat on. If you wear through to the glass, you can put more glass or Kevlar on. Theoretically, you could replace the entire boat with patches before it's unusable.
Okay.
So I would say for what you're going to use, you know, get a gel coat bottom so you have that extra layer of abrasion resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And you might throw a skid plate on the front, which is a Kevlar felt that is like bomb-proof. If you do that, I think you'll be really happy with the overall the function of the boat and the durability. You may have to, you know, every 5 or 6 years, you know, patch a little bit here and there. But for the most part, it's going to be fine.
All right.
Okay. It's a great river. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah. Just from Columbus to Laurel. Put that on your list if you haven't been there.
Well, I've been to Columbus, but I haven't ever paddled much of it. It's usually on my way to a trade show.
Ah.
So I have to hurry.
Thanks, Peter. Good luck.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments. We've got open lines. We'll get you on really quickly at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Talking today with Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga of Madison's, the world's largest paddle sport shop and located in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A little bit later on, we'll be talking about fishing in the great outdoors with my old friend Gary Engberg of Mazamani, professional fisherman and guide. But right now, we're talking canoeing and kayaking. This summer, Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison, our guest today. Happy to have him back, and again, join us at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, and let's turn to Dave in Platteville next. Dave, hi, thank you for calling.
Sure. I solo canoed a couple times up in the Boundary Waters, and this year I took a kayak paddle. I found that was a lot more efficient and I'd go a lot faster, but how do you size up a kayak paddle for a solo canoe?
Jeez. All these smart people today. This is great. That's a great question, too. Basically, the best way to do it is to sit in the boat and hold the paddle at an angle that's comfortable until the paddles are fully submerged in the water. It's usually 20 to 30 centimeters longer than a kayak paddle you'd use. Most of the ones we sell are 250 to 260 centimeters long. And it depends on the size of the boat, how deep it is, you know, the tumble home, you know, how much that curves in towards the seat. What kind of boat is it?
It's a Old Town Penobscot 15.
You'd want a little longer boat. That's got little, some or a little longer paddle. It's got some considerable depth to that one in width.
Yeah, okay.
Great boat.
Yeah, not too bad. Not worth a darn for two people, but...
Well, wasn't made for two people, so why would it be? Yeah, take it down the Grant from you this weekend, will you? Because I can't go.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for calling. Steve in Cascade, on to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I would just like to, first of all, let you know, I'm from California. I just watched an epic film made by a guy named Vince Dewar from Michigan called Unsalted. And so they did a six-year production on both surf kayaking and surfing on the Great Lakes. You should get that film.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
San Diego, and the La Jolla Times gave it a great rating. I do surf kayak a lot here. I brought my kayak from the ocean. Last November and December, one of the great spots is Lester River on Lake Superior. I was turned on to that by a bunch of guys that surf, and I've been all over the UP and around here in Sheboygan, and I'm surprised that people don't take advantage of the lakes here because the kayaking here is tremendous.
I would fully agree. I actually am a California native. I was paroled 25 years ago and allowed to move here. it's a wonderful place, but there's another great surf film called Step into Liquid.
I saw that.
Yeah, which has that section on Sheboygan.
Yeah.
It's funny to hear those guys. Yeah. Oh, you can go out there and get the stoke on, let me tell you. You know?
But I'll tell you, in all seriousness, Unsalted was very well done.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Get a chance. You guys should see it. And, I run a 7-foot sea kayak. It's basically made for, you know, running the waves. And I have a ball here.
Yeah, there's a little flat bottom. Basically, it's a surfboard with a deck on it.
That's right.
Yeah, those things are a riot. They're so much fun.
Well, thanks a lot for calling, Steve. Appreciate it. Now, his mention of films reminded me that you have a real paddling film festival coming up.
Yeah, this was something that we wanted to do for a couple years, but the timing never really worked out. It's a production put on by a company up in Canada that puts together a series of films, and they send us, it's 18 hours of film or something, and you pare it down to the ones that are more suitable to your area. But we got lucky, and we got the Orpheum Theater the night before Paddle and Portage, and we're showing about 2.5 hours of film, whitewater, flatwater, documentary, the whole deal. And it's going to be really cool, and it's kind of like the Banff Film Festival for paddlers. And the tickets are cheap. They're $10. And the proceeds go to the scholarship fund, the Josh Kestelman Scholarship Fund for getting kids out who can't afford to get lessons otherwise.
Well, that's great. And that's the 17th?
Yep, Friday the 17th.
Do you have something on that on your website?
Yeah, if they go to the website, there's a banner, and they can click on that. They can even buy tickets online if they want to.
Okay, and the website address is?
Just rutabaga.com.
Rutabaga.com. Yeah. For that paddling film festival. That's really cool. I love that idea. Charlene in Green Bay, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Barry. I am just calling. The girls and I have been out kayaking several times, and a storm's come in, and it starts to lightning. What are we supposed to do? Fall on the water. I mean, you can't climb into the woods, and you're far away from where you put in.
Yeah, flee.
go where?
Anywhere but where you are. Yeah, lightning on the water is pretty rough. You're the tallest thing out there. So we watch the weather really carefully when we're out on the Great Lakes, and you can usually get some warning that there's lightning. There's a mechanism you can buy, a little lightning strike indicator that they're fairly new, but they can kind of tell you what's happening with the weather and what kind of electrical activity there is. I don't have one because I've never needed it. I can just kind of tell.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is just watch the weather, get a weather radio, you know, keep track of that kind of stuff. But
And do get off and get into the woods.
And get off, yeah.
You do go into the woods?
I'd well, much better
under
off in
a
the
tree?
Woods.
Well, it's not right next to a tree.
Not if there's a single tree, I wouldn't get underneath that one. But
if it's a lot of trees, I mean, you'd be better off getting off the water or not standing on.
You're better off getting off the water. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
There you have it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah. Always better off the water.
Yeah. There is an area close to shore that sometimes you're maybe better off right next to the shore if there's tall trees than actually on shore, but it's one of those things that I don't even like to talk about because people get confused. It's like,
yeah. And if it's wind and blowing and everything else, yeah. Jim in Oconomowoc, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. I am going to be doing the paddle and portage this year, and I always have a ball doing it. But I also have trouble figuring out how I'm going to carry the paddles. Is there a way that you can strap the paddles to the struts of the canoe when you're portaging?
Yeah, there is. There's a couple ways you can do it. We have these little things we have at the shop called Bungee Dealy Bobs, BDBs, and it's just a piece of bungee with a little hook on it. And you can just strap them. You just throw them around the thwart and the paddle and zip them up tight. You can do the same thing with a piece of Velcro. You can do it with, you can invent your own kind of thing. But we find the little bungees work really well. They're really fast.
Okay, I'll stop by and pick some up.
All right.
Next time in Madison. Thank you very much.
All right.
And thanks for the show and everything you're doing.
All right. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. And, hey, get in a day early and take in that film festival while you're at it, too. Well, you're going to have to be in the night before anyway. It's the night before.
All right. Right.
Got to be there anyway.
And it's on State Street, so how could you resist State Street the night before paddle and portage?
Oh, in Madison. All right. There we go. Tom in Rice Lake. We're on to you now. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, two questions. One regarding the kayak paddle. I've been using one on my canoe for quite a few years, but I would like a longer one. Is there any chance of mail ordering a paddle from you guys?
Sure. Yeah, just call me. We'll figure it out.
I think the best approach to figuring out the proper length would probably be to take the paddle I've got with the canoe sitting in the water and see how much additional length I'd like and measure it. And
that's exactly
come up with a solution that way.
That's exactly what I would recommend. Yep.
Next question. As far as a good boat for breaking ice, are these new composites? Is any one of the materials more suitable than any other for breaking skim ice?
That's a question I haven't heard in a long time.
No.
I didn't think anybody else did that besides me. if it's skim ice, we're talking about a millimeter or two.
Well, sometimes we're talking 3 inches, too.
That's not skim ice, my friend.
Well, it is to us.
That's called ice. I usually take out a Royal X boat when I do that, just because it's a little bit more forgiving, but...
Well, what I've been using for, I don't know, probably 25 or 30 years is one of those sports pals. It's a T-44 aluminum. It's fairly light, but it's a pretty wide, stable.
Sure.
No?
Yeah, you want a stable boat if you're going to be busting. Because you get your bow up on the ice and you lose a bunch of your stability. So
yeah, well, usually we've got so much weight in the thing and we weight it bow heavy and it breaks the ice pretty good. But as I'm getting older, I was kind of thinking of getting an even lighter boat. But the problem probably would be that lighter bolt wouldn't be as durable for breaking ice, would it?
Well, boy, this is the most esoteric question anybody's ever asked me. It probably would be. I mean, the lighter the boat, the more, impact it doesn't like. So you might try and find a 15-foot Grumman. Those things are pretty bomb-proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with the boat. I'm still using that sports bell, and I think that's even superior to the Grumman from what we use it for. But if you're familiar with those things, I don't even know if they make them anymore.
I do think they still make them, but I haven't seen many of them around, yeah. You might try to get one of those bird bath heaters and just stick it off the bow and go real slow.
Yeah, real slow and carry lots of batteries.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, you asked,
There you go, Tom. And, boy, so that would be something to do some video of. Let me see a film on that.
No, thanks. It's one of those things where my wife is like, you're going out there. Yeah, and it's nice. Yeah. Okay.
Dave in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks. I bought a little 10-foot lightweight fishing kayak, about 35 pounds. I won't tell you the brand because I don't think you're going to like it. I was wondering about, it seems very unstable to me, and I haven't actually taken it out and tipped it to make sure how unstable. But I was thinking about taking one of those swimming noodle things, foam, and slicing it down the middle and epoxying half of it on each side of the cockpit. I know how ugly that would look, but would it work?
That's a really interesting...
As a sponsons, in other words.
You know, that's an interesting idea. I don't think it's a half bad one either. And you can tell me what kind it is. I don't care. I mean...
It's a pelican.
That's okay. Is it float?
Okay.
And it gets you on the water.
Floats.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know if it floats upside down yet. I haven't tried. Well,
a friend of mine's their sales manager. They're fine boats. You know, they are what they are.
Oh.
But you might try and get one of the big pool noodles just to get yourself a little buoyancy. But I don't think
the what kind of noodle?
The bigger ones, the bigger diameter ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, and you're not going to make a pelican look that much more ugly, to be honest.
They're already pretty ugly.
So, yeah, no, I'd stick it on there and I'd go as much as you can along the side of it. I see no reason why it wouldn't work. I wouldn't use epoxy, though, because the plastic in epoxy isn't going to work too well. I would use a waterproof contact cement.
Just waterproof contact.
Yeah, cut it in half.
I was thinking about Gorilla Glue as my second guess, but maybe not.
No, it's not. That's not really great around water. No, you could use Weldwood contact cement from the hardware store, and
okay.
just trace the noodle. You know, rough it up with some 60 grit sandpaper, paint a layer on the noodle, let it dry, then hit it with a blow dryer to kind of activate it again. Stick it on, and it should stick on real well.
Okay, I was thinking about like maybe just 3 feet on each side. Do you think that'd be?
You know, start with 3 feet, and if you need more, put more on.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
That's a good question.
Yeah, lots of interesting ones today. Mark in Portage, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hello. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, question and a comment for you. I guess I'd actually bought a Winona Spirit 2 from you guys quite a few years ago, and it's been a absolutely great boat for me. Not the fastest thing out there, but it's done everything I've ever asked it to. I've had 3 kids in it before and, gone over the rapids and stuff, and it's always been real well. But now kids have obviously grown a little larger and looking to get them in their own kayaks. Anything that would be kind of a good starter kayak that they can essentially grow into and kind of keep the rest of their lives.
How old are the kids?
Well, it's 10, 12, and 14 at this point.
So are they... Well, the 14-year-old's probably pretty much adult size.
Pretty close to it, yeah. I hope she stops growing.
Yeah. Well, don't stop feeding her.
Yeah.
I tried that. It didn't work. It's a tough one because it's kind of like saying, can I get an 8-year-old a mountain bike and then have him never have to get a new one? Boats are even more sensitive to that.
Yeah, I think the 14-year-old is probably ready for it. I don't know if younger two are quite there yet, but they're getting closer,
Yeah, there's a couple boats that work with 10-year-olds, 10, 12-year-olds, if they're, depending on their size. One's called the Tsunami SP by Wilderness Systems, and the other is the Perception Acadia Scout, and those are the two primary kids' boats that we sell. The Acadia is more of a recreational one. The Tsunami is more of a kind of a scaled-down touring boat, but they both work quite well for kids. The nice thing about them is they don't cost that much to start with, so the resale value on them is pretty good because people are always looking for them.
Okay.
So the hard part is finding a used one.
Yeah.
But if you want to sell a used one, it's really easy.
Are they going to be okay with, hitting a rock or two here and there and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, they're polyethylene. They're tough.
Okay.
All right.
And just a quick read... kayak paddles out of canoes, you're saying maybe 250, 260, somewhere in there?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Okay.
If it's a shallow, narrow solo canoe, you can probably go 240. But, 250, 260 is kind of what I recommend.
All right, excellent.
Thanks for calling.
You bet, thank you.
Email from Justin in La Crosse. My wife and I are heading to the Apostle Islands for 4 nights of island camping. We've rented 2 16-foot kayaks. I'm wondering if you have any ideas, pointers on packing our gear. We're going to need to pack a fair amount of gear for that length of time. Maybe some ideas of what to bring and what to leave behind. This is for 4 nights on island camping on the Apostles.
The best way to learn how to pack a kayak is to go on a trip for 4 days, and then every time you use something, put a little X on it with a grease pencil, and then everything you don't put an X on, don't bring it next time. It's really easy to overpack, especially if you've been canoeing, because you have the luxury of all the room in the world. Think like a backpacker, and you have more space than you would ever have in a backpack. But if that's how you think, it works better. Lots of small bags is better than one big bag, because if the bag fails, you don't get everything wet. Mm-hmm. I double bag sleeping bags and things like that. Tents, I mean, the worst thing in the world that you could forget is a tent and a sleeping bag. You can survive for a long time on just those two things. You'll need less clothes than you think you need, but you'll need at least one, like a fleece or a wind shell for sure. Even in the middle of the summer, when the wind comes off the lake, it's quite chilly.
Yeah,
so what I usually take is a long fleece pants and a long fleece that I can sort of roll up and stuff into a small bag. And if I don't get them out, I don't get them out. But if I need them, they're there.
Yeah.
But don't think it's like going to the beach where it's going to be 80 degrees, even if the air temperature seems to be warm.
Okay. Some good tips there. Let's go to Bill in Bayfield County. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I like to fly fish the small lakes in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin. And I was looking for a small boat that would have stability and lightweight, because sometimes I have to portage it in a ways.
Sure. Well, there's a couple different options. There's always options. Pretty much any small kayak can be a fishing kayak. You just have to add some rod holders and you know, things like that to make it easier. There is a brand of kayaks that is almost exclusively fishing kayaks, and that's Native Watercraft. It's the one boat we're having trouble keeping in stock this summer.
Oh.
They just fly out as soon as we get them. And it's a small company, family-owned. Everything's made in the States, including the cut-and-sewn stuff, which is pretty rare these days. Great folks, great designs. A former Orvis pro fisherman was one of the designers on the project, a guy named Jimbo Mater. And he's an amazing, amazing fellow. So I would highly recommend you take a look at those.
If I couldn't get that, do you have another recommendation?
Anything with a large cockpit. That allows you to get in and out easily. Anything with some flat surface where you can mount some rod holders and possibly an anchor trolley. And those are the things you usually find on kayak fishing, kayaks. The question is, sit on top or sit in? Those are the things that people need to consider. If you're paddling mostly warmer water, or you're not afraid to wear a wetsuit on the bottom, you can kind of get whatever you want. Is that clear what the stand up or sit inside versus sit on top is? Yeah.
Well, why don't you explain it for everybody else?
The sit on top is you're not sitting inside the boat, you're sitting on top of it. And it has basically depression where you sit, and then some scuppers that drain it if it should get water in it. Those are really popular from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yeah.
After that or before that, it's a little bit tricky. But if you wear the right clothing, you can stay warm and still paddle early and late season. Sometimes people like those for fishing because there's less to kind of get in the way of the rod. And if you're fishing and you get a fish on, you don't have a deck to kind of work around. You just fish.
Yeah. You just fish.
Okay. Okay. Well, you give me some ideas there.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Another Larry wonders if an inflatable kayak, Advanced Elements is the brand, would be used or could be used in the backwaters of the Mississippi River.
Depends on the size, but I mean, again, it depends on the weather. It depends on the size. It depends on the paddler. Advanced Elements makes a really nice boat. That's a nice boat. Longer would be better, you know, a little bit longer. The little short 9-footer is going to be kind of tough to work against wind and current, but, certainly acceptable for some of those sloughs. Those are, you know, they're basically lakes. They're not rivers.
Yeah. Kay in McQuanago, your turn. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I'm a senior in my early 70s, and I've kayaked a couple of times on small inland lakes, and so I'm a beginner. But I had a lot of fun, and I'm wondering if I were to come up there, if you could recommend a kayak for an older person. And, you know, my other thought is if I purchased one, how I would get it on my vehicle. Because my son has one, and I've gone in his. That's the one I've been in, but it's probably 65 or 70 pounds, and I'd never be able to get it on top of the car.
Yeah.
Great questions, ones that we hear every day. Yeah, it's the great thing about kayaking is it's a sport you can do, and you know, forever. And I mean, I had a customer a couple of years ago. She was in her mid-80s who was taking solo canoe trips to the Boundary Waters.
Mm.
She'd been doing it for years, and she says, "Why stop? I can still do it."
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's certainly boats that are light enough that you could pick up on your car, depending on the height of your car. There's also small trailers that we have that you can put a kayak on top of that, which is the easiest solution, is just put on a little trailer.
Yeah.
And it's not a big, giant, you know, you're thinking Farm and Fleet type trailer. It's a very small, has small wheels, little motorcycle wheels, and it's almost like they're not even there.
And could you give me a ballpark idea of a lightweight kayak and medium price, what I'd be thinking of?
Boy, it really depends on the what you mean by lightweight. I mean, mm-hmm. you can get a 40 pound boat, you know, in the, you know, 650 to 750 range.
And does that include the paddles or no?
No, everything's pretty much a la carte because we like to fit people with exactly the right equipment. But we can find something.
And paddles, what do they run, kind of?
$50 to $400.
I see. And then the trailer would be, would I purchase that from you too?
You could. If you know someone who has a small trailer, you can adapt. That works too.
Yeah.
But there's lots of options for you. We can get you on. I mean,
and I'm not good at getting in. My kids are always, you know, saying, "Mom, just step in the middle and sit down."
No. here's the other thing I'd recommend is come down and take a class. We have an intro to recreational kayaking class that is filled constantly. It's the most popular class we have. And most of what we cover is very simple things like how to get in and how to get out without flipping, because that's where most beginners have trouble.
Yeah. And is it on a daily basis, this class? Or?
They're not daily. We've got a couple during the week and a couple on the weekends.
But I mean, it's a one-day thing.
It's 4 hours.
Okay.
4.5 hours, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Paul in Dubuque, Iowa, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Great show today. I wanted to follow up on the discussion earlier about the wear on a Kevlar gel coat.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an Adirondack that's about 10 years old, and it's starting to show its age. And it has one spot where it's worn completely through to the where I can see the Kevlar fibers. That's only about 2 or 3 inches long. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it is mostly just some deeper gouges that haven't gone through the gel coat. And my question is, what's involved in recoating that gel coat, and secondly, is it a do-it-yourself project?
That's a great question. There's a couple ways you could do it. If you just want to touch that one section up, you can get some matching gel coat. It may not be exactly the match because it may have sun faded a little bit, but you can get the same color. We can get it from Winona, and just patch that one area, and that's not very difficult. It's just a catalyzed resin that you mix up with a catalyst and you know, prepare the surface, and we can walk you through all that. It's not very difficult. If you want to redo the whole bottom, we can actually do that. We've sent boats to Winona that are 25 years old, and they're seeing lots of wear, and they'll just re-gel the bottom of the boat. They'll just mask it off and spray it, and you've got a brand new boat.
Oh, so there you have it. Good luck, Paul. Thank you. And Darren, thank you so much. The time flew once again, and I want to remind people the film festival on the 17th of July at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, the night before Paddle and Portage. Find out some more about canoes and kayaks as well by just going to the website at Rutabaga, like the vegetable, rutabaga.com.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Darren Bush, he'll be back again. Boy, it was a lively discussion there as we talked all kinds of canoes and kayaks. And the last couple of questions related to fishing kayaks. And as a matter of fact, fishing is what's coming up next year as we talk Fishing in the Great Outdoors with Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.